As well as to make the important announcement, as I'm sure you all might have guessed if you've heard already, but there will be no shiur next week in light of the hespedim for Rabbi Neuberger. I don't know exactly what time that's scheduled for, but I assume it'll conflict, certainly with my preparation, and perhaps otherwise. also to mention, there will be two Thursdays at the end of the month also, which we won't have, at the end of November, whatever the Thursday of Thanksgiving is, we didn't have a shiur last year, but also that following Thursday, I'll be in Eretz Yisrael for the shul mission. I don't think I'll be back in time for that shiur, so probably those 2 weeks also. So it's all of those reasons that I wanted to at least make sure to start to get us in our first shiur this evening, even though for you and especially for me, it's very rushed after Yontif, and the truth is that I apologize. That's why I didn't have time to make up a source sheet, and I'm not sure, even for myself, if the shiur is as clear as I would have hoped it to be, or I hope that the shiurim usually are with the mad rush since last night. But Yemir Hashem will at least begin, especially since last year was a three-day yontif, so voracious, we didn't have any shiur. We started the shiur last year with Parshas Noach, so at least this year we get to begin, at least get a shiurim for Parshas Voracious. And the topic that I chose was the mitzvah of Pru Urevu. The truth is, though, as I was mentioning to someone at Minchat this evening, there are so many aspects. It's such a rich mitzvah in terms of Talmud Torah that, Yemir Hashem, we could have this series for many more years, and every Parshas Brachos we could have another dimension of Pru Urevu. And even the dimensions that I want to speak about this evening, as I said, I think they could really use more work, but at least to be malas on the Galshocha Malachim, we'll work through some things tonight, and certainly, as always, of course, appreciate your contributions and your ha'aras. The first mention of the mitzvah of Pru Revu in this coming week's parsha, of course, comes from Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches. The Torah tells us, Vayivarach Osam, Elokim, Hashem is blessing them, Vayomar Lahem, and he says to them, Pru Revu, Melus Aretz, should fill the world, presumably meaning with children, with kivshua, and you should even conquer it, or do, but gasayam, but ofa shamayim, chokhaya, haramasa, salaritz. Should be in control, but of course, in order to be controlled, you need to have people, and that's the mitzvah, presumably a peruvu. The Sefer HaChinuch quotes this, Paragal, Pasach, Havches, of Bereishis, as the mocker, as the source for the mitzvah to have children, to procreate, but it is worth noting that there are three other places, in Sefer Bereishis, where the terminology of Pru Revu is used as well, and other Rishonim aren't so clear that perhaps some of those other sources, lesser known, are perhaps actually the better and more appropriate source. If you look up in the Sefer HaYireim, Blazer Mimitz, in Mitzvah Taf Yud Gimel, so he says, he points out that there are four places altogether, three in addition to the one we just mentioned, Parak Aleph, that mention Pru Revu. It's interesting, he says there's four, and then he only quotes three. But for those that are familiar, the most versions of the Sefer HaRaim come with a more recent commentary to him, known as the Tofos Raim. So he points out what the fourth one is as well. The second and the third come from next week's Parsha. Really, Pru Revu could be a Parsha's Noach Habur, according to the Sefer HaRaim. And the truth is, you look in the beginning of Perek Tes, there are two times that in the first few psukim that the Torah mentions this idea. First is in the opening of Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, Vayivarach lehem es Noach v'asbanav yomelam Pru Revu melu'as aretz. The truth is, that's more of a direct sivui. If you look at Pasuk Zion there, a few psukim later, Va'atem Pru Revu shiritzu b'aretz u'revu ba. And if you look at Rashi there on Pasuk Zion, Va'atem Pru Revu, L'shibshutu HaRishona Livracha. Sounds like he's saying that the Pru Revu of Parshas Bereishis, Perek Aleph, it was just a bracha to Adam and Chava that they should have children and they should master the universe. But not that it was a chiyuv, as opposed to Vakan Litzivui. That's the pshat, says Rashi. Then he has with the Midrasha, L'hakish Mishain Oseg Perevivya, L'shefech Damim. An interesting side point. But the simple understanding, perhaps, and this is the Reim seems to take this position. I also got this past year a sefer called Be'ikvei HaMinchas Chinuch, which is a sefer written, I believe his first name is Rav Yaakov Edelstein, who's the Rav of Ramat HaSharon in Eretz Yisrael. His brother is Rav Gershon Edelstein, who's one of Rosh Hashivas in Ponovich, I think, with Tzeirim. And he has a sefer. He gave shurim in a yeshiva, I guess it's in Bnei Brak, for a number of years, similar to the style of shur we have. And they collected, the Talmid of the yeshiva wrote up, they've only published one volume, which is on Bereishis through Vayikra. And he makes this hara that it seems to be a machlokas really between Rashi and the Sefer Achinuch. What is the makor for the mitzvah of Pru Revu? Is it the pasuk in Bereishis, which is commonly assumed, which is what the purpose of this shir is, I guess, assuming, if we're having it as a Bereishis shir, or Rashi, who seems to indicate that it's really a pasuk from Parshas Noach. And finally, just to round it out, if you look in, I think it's pasuk Perek Lamed Hey, we have the fourth and final mention of the concept of Pru Revu, pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer lo im ani el shaddai parei urevei goy ukahal goyim yeh mimcha mimecha, excuse me, amalachim me chalatzecha yesu. Prei urevei is the lashon yachid of pru urevu. This is when Hashem is speaking to Yaakov. So this is the four times again the Sefer HaYireim collects these four, points these out to us. But we generally assume, notwithstanding all of this other, certainly the prayer of Reveh is not a chiyuv, and most poskim seem to go with the pasuk from our parsha, assuming that that is the chiyuv. Much of the halachic discussion that centers around this mitzvah is in a few blot in the sixth parak of Maseches Yevamos. And there, for example, on daf, I think it's Samach Aleph, Amud Beis, we have a famous discussion of what is exactly the parameters of the mitzvah. The Mishnah here tells us how important it is, lo yivatel adam mipiriv rivya, ela imkem yesh labanim, so you're not supposed to, mivatel here, the implication is you're not supposed to stop having children, unless you fulfill the mitzvah purivu. So of course that leads into the Mishnah's next comment, which is, so how do you know when you've got the job done? So this is the famous machlokes, beishamai omrim shnei zacharim, beishamai says, you know what it is, you have to have at least two sons. Beis Hillel omer, zachar unakeva, Shne'emar Zachu Unakeva Bar'am. Basilu, who you naturally paskin like, calls that you need to have minimally one son and one daughter. Now, as a side point, one of the main issues really at the heart of this mitzvah, which I don't at all want to discuss, it'll be for next year, Mirtz Hashem, or years after that, but just so you should know, because it's something that is, if it's not mentioned, it's too obvious to be ignored. And that is the question of exactly what is the mitzvah. When we talk about that the limit is, let's say we'll paskin one boy and one girl. And just so you shouldn't make things even more interesting, if you look at the Gemara there on Samach Beis and Aleph, they tell us two other interesting halachos. One is that those children themselves have to have the ability to have children. If you have a child, Rachman al-Islam, who's sterile, and that's your only son, but he can't have children. So you thought, you had a daughter, then you had a son. You thought, oh, Baruch Hashem, I fulfilled the mitzvah. 25 years later, you realize you never fulfilled the mitzvah, because he didn't have children. Or at least he couldn't have children, let's say it that way. Or another thing which emerges, which is, again, very interesting and a fast, really ton hesber, we're just not going to be giving sufficient hesber tonight, is the fact that you have to, your children have to outlive you. This is not just a dream on the most deep emotional level of every parent, but halachically, if your children predecease you, if you only had a boy and a girl, and one of them predeceases you, Rahman al-Islam. So also, in retrospect, 20 years later, 60 years later, whenever the age is, you were not Yotzei, B'Shleimusa, the mitzvah of Pru Revu. Now, all of these things are very difficult. Sorry?
Only if they don't have children.
Right, if they have an issue, exactly. So how do you make sense of all this? So the truth is that part of this really relates to a major discussion, a very, very famous chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, where the Minchas Chinuch points out that you see that really the mitzvah is having children, but actually husband and wife living together is nothing. It's a hechatimsa, what we call a hechsher mitzvah. We're coming off the holiday of Sukkot. So leave aside a string. It's a little bit more popular than most people realize, but it's still a minority, and it's not a sumla halacha of Rishonim who hold that to build a sukkah is a mitzvah. And the Yerushalmi that discusses it, etc., well-known discussion. But the presumption that most of us have is that building a sukkah is not a mitzvah. Building a sukkah is called a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to sit in a sukkah. So, derech that analogy, the Minchas Chinuch says, husband and wife living together, that's just a hechsher mitzvah. But the only mitzvah would be, if she can, I mean, we can add like eight tnaim to this. if she conceives, and she carries the term, and she has a child, who's a boy, and then has a second one, who's a girl, or the order could be reversed. And then, this child is ability... So what was the Maisabia? A long time ago. And really, only if you will, Hashra Mitzvah. The Minchas Sunuch has a number of rais for this again, but I don't want to get distracted by this, other than to mention that there are, among others, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who vociferously denied this. No! Listen. The Gemara says, right, despite all the great, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful advances in medicine that have helped people who otherwise cannot have children, be able to have children, but ultimately the Gemara tells us this is one of the three keys that the Rebbe Shalom keeps for himself. Like anything else in life, your b'chiv is to do the best you can. The chiv for husband and wife is to live together and try to have children. That is the mitzvah. You didn't have them? Okay, so that's, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah that Tzvi Pesach Frank says, b'shlei Musa. And that Hashem will forgive you for, because Hashem knows you did your best. But to say that the Minchas Chinuch says that there's no mitzvah at all, there's no ma'isa mitzvah? Of course there's a ma'isa mitzvah. That's the husband and wife living together. Now, who's right, who's wrong, all sorts of machloksim. We could even have nafkaminas with contemporary issues with IVF. I mean, there's a whole shiur or two could be given just on that angle. But just in case you're thinking, what does that mean, that the mitzvah is having the children? So what's the ma'isa mitzvah? So the answer is anachanami. That is a huge, huge discussion. But as I say, I mentioned this to you only... to whet your appetite?
It's
a sakta preview, right, that's the famous, right, okay?
That's famous raya.
Right, right, exactly, right, you do. That's what Fipa Frank says, exactly.
You can marshal a raya into what you just said by the mere fact that we make both berachos, the suah, and erusim, and the suah, and the chuppah. Of course, if it's...
So you're getting into something which I want to get to, which is you're assuming that the whole purpose of getting married is having children.
Okay.
Who said? I don't mean hashkafically. It's not a Beis Yaakov class. I mean halachic. Was the tape on? I'm sorry. It's not home ec. I'm saying, I mean halachically. So maybe the mitzvah is getting married. Okay. Listen, 2 years ago, it could have come to my Gemara Shiur Shabbos afternoon. The first sugya we did was whether there's a mitzvah to be married or not. That's machlokas, presumably Rambam and Rush. But you may very well be right. I want to mention what I really want to get to. We'll see if we have time. Lisa Isha B'Kiddushin.
No, then the chas of the first night is what the
Krishma.
Is being osik for a
while. Right. So, which is interesting because the Rambam is generally the one who's assumed, told that there's a mitzvah to have Kiddushin.
Right.
Right. These are all very, very interesting but complicated questions. And so, as I'll mention, the ultimate Kiddush, if you will, that I want to get to is really based on the pshat I said at my own chasnas tish. Actually, since I've been in Baltimore, I don't know, maybe once. I saw someone give a serious Dvar Torah at a chasnas tish. It doesn't seem to be a minhag Baltimore. It's not a universal minhag. But in my circle, this was de rigueur and expected that the serious Dvar Torah would give a serious pshetel at his chasnas tish. So what I spoke about was the relationship between Pur Revu and a mitzvah derabbanan called Shevis, which is what I want to get to. But my intro, you know, when I wanted to get the people to drop the food spontaneously, was I mentioned that the Sefer Tamim Mahagim points out that the reason we don't say a bracha of Shechiyonu under the chuppah is because they don't fulfill the mitzvah until they have the children. So that obviously is related, but I just want to tell you there's a lot beneath the surface. One last point, really, before we get into some of the really even more meaty issues, but one which will relate, is the issue of who's chayiv in Pur Revu. And that's really... the structure with which I want to use to really analyze the ultimate question of what is the purpose and what is the nature of the mitzvah. But the most basic issue, which is already discussed, the very famous discussion in Yavamas here just a few blot later on Daf Samach Hayamud Beis, is a machlokes tanaim, whether women are obligated or not. So the Tana Kama says that women are not obligated. However, I think it is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. He says they are. After all, the original pasuk we quoted, Adam and Chava. So what is the Gemara's conclusion? The Gemara's conclusion, as it defends the opinion of the Tana Kama, is, what was the continuation of the pasuk? Vikiv Shuha. That it's not just you're going to have children, but then you're going to, you know, have dominion over the world. So the Gemara in its famous line says, Es Shadarcha Lichbosh, those who are typically the ones who are with the guns and with the spears, So they're also the ones who are chayvim for revu. And since women, not only historically, but from our perspective, more importantly, hashkafically, we're not the ones who are going out to war, so the Gemara says, this is explaining the Tanakhama's position, that they're also not obligated in pru revu. It's worth noting, there's a very, very important Mesha Chachma. It's important just l'shma, so to speak, but it's also important, especially we all familiar on one level or another, and Baltimore is perhaps the other, but certainly in the entire world of the last quarter century, we know there's been in many circles, sometimes sincere and sometimes less sincere, whether you'll call it questioning or attacking, of the whole approach of halachic Judaism to the equality of men and women. And one of the issues which is often most sensitive is how could you say, here it is, women are all in pain and they sacrifice for the labor and everything and then raising it, they're not even obligated, it's not even a mitzvah? This is a question, depending on which circles you travel, you may hear very often. And it's, to my mind, a very reasonable question. So it's worth noting there are a number of explanations which are worth knowing, but perhaps the most important is the one of the Mesha Chachma. The Mesha Chachma here says, really, one more famous, which is the more famous of the two, but he really actually gives two answers to Mesha Chachma. The first is that he anasanis, that's the point. That it wouldn't be right now, even with all the drugs, so still labor delivery is still a very, very painful thing for women. But it's actually, I don't know all the statistics, and I hope you ain't in the room, but Bli Ayin Hara, it's relatively safe. We know it's a very, very uncommon thing. I actually knew somebody growing up, Nabuch, a woman who died in childbirth. But the reason I remember this is because the last time I heard it was 25 years ago. We all, you know, have to know a little bit of world history to know that this is a very recent phenomenon. And even now, it's only true in the developed countries. Even to this very day, in parts of the world, the mortality rate can be very high. It's a very dangerous thing. So it says the Mesha Chochma, we have a concept in Judaism called Derech Adarechei Naum. But the ways of the Torah are menschlich, the ways of the Torah are sweet. It says that it wouldn't be nice, it wouldn't be menschlich to make women obligated to do something which is going to be incredibly painful and threaten their life. They just wouldn't be menschlich. Aye, the men won't be able to fulfill their mitzvah if the women don't agree. Okay, so then the women either agree or they don't agree. They don't have to get married, and even if they get married, they don't have to have children. But if they want to do it, then they'll do it. But it wouldn't be sensitive to them to obligate them. The other thing which he mentions, again, it's all in a similar vein, but it's from a different perspective, has to do with the fact that midaraisa, men can have more than one wife. But that's already would get us off on a tangent. It is worth noting, nevertheless, that the Ramah in Evan Ezer and Siman Aleph, Sif Yud Gimel, based on a comment, really, it's a really more of a recommendation in Eitz HaTovah, but it's worth noting that the Ramah quotes Eitz HaTovah, does suggest that there's a concept called Chashad. It doesn't look nice. It doesn't look nice. People might question the type of person that she is if she seems to be uninterested in getting married. People who try to get married and can't, that's a rachmanas. But especially people who aren't interested, so the Ramah is a very strong lashon, which is certainly urging women to do so. That's an issue of women. What about, so let's assume now we're going to pass like the Tanakhama, that's the way the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch, all passing like the Tanakhama, the women aren't obligated. And we'll have to get back to that, I hope, on some level. What about non-Jews? What about Goyim? Are they obligated in Pru Urvu or not? So this seems to be the a subtext of a Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says, listen, every one of the tzukim that I quoted for you, so good, we don't have to know the Sefer, we're not just going to be beholden to the Chinuch. We got two in Parshas Noach, and we got the Tofos Reims, fourth mention, but all four of them are Kodah Matan Torah. So there, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that any mitzvah that was mechuyev on the whole world before Matan Torah and was never repeated. So we are the spiritual heirs. Whatever Mishnah Lamelech and Parshas Drachim and all the discussions in the Achronim about the status of the Avos Kodem Matan Torah, we are their descendants, and therefore, of course, we're obligated. But if it was never Nishnis, then non-Jews are not obligated, even though they may have been obligated at one point in history. But if it would be nishnis, if it would be repeated in a way that was universal, certs of other things which are part of the seven of B'nai Noach, and it's really more than seven, then that's when they would be obligated. So the very, very strong, I say mashmos only because we're used, but it's really more than mashmos, of that Gemara is that non-Jews should be exempt, of course, because this mitzvah purvu is never nishnas. However, it does that seems to be straight. The problem is that there are other Gemaras, and more importantly, Rishonim, that are not nearly that clear. So first of all, just before we get into some of these other things, it's just worth mentioning, I alluded to it now, but just so we should, so to speak, have all of our ducks in a row, the two other psukim that are quoted in Tanakh that relate to this sugya are, one is from a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya, and Perek Mem Hei, which is a pasuk of Lashavas as Yitro, which is that to settle the world. And then there's also a pasuk very, very fascinating in Koheles and Perek Yid Aleph, of what's called as la'arev, meaning that a man, when he gets up in age, he shouldn't just be satisfied with whatever children he had when he was younger, he should still have more children, you never know what's going to be with the first children, you know, hedge your bets. So the truth is, if you look in the poskim, la'arev seems to be advice. Kohelis is not exactly a mocker, even from a Durabonon, typically. That seems to be more advice. However, the poskim do quote the pasuk from Navi Yeshaya as a chiyuv midarabonon. The Gemara we mentioned says that the mitzvah of Purvu is a boy and a girl. That's the chi of Midaraisa. So what about all the full yeshiva vans, as my daughter calls them in Baltimore? That's more than one boy and one girl. So the answer is, it's not a mitzvah Daraisa and a chanami. It's a mitzvah Midarabanan. It's called Lasheves. Okay? That's just basic background. There's two mitzvahs. One's Daraisa, one's Darabanan. Comes along a very famous Gemara. It's repeated in a number of places. I'll paraphrase it really from the Gemara in Chagiga. On Daf Beis, on the Beis, but it's also in Gittin, it's also in Baba Basra. Here the Gemara tells us about the fascinating creature known as the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Right, it was a full Eved Kanani. And then one of it, who shared, you know, it was a partnership. One partner moved to Arizona, so he freed him. The problem is the other guy doesn't want to free him. He still does good work for him. So the Gemara says, where am I? First, it talks about, well, he'll work for one day, you know, he'll work every other day. One day he'll be his own master. One day he'll have to work for his other person. Amr Lam Be Shammai. Okay, that's good for the other Rav. What do you do for this guy? What kind of life is he going to have? Lisa Shivcha and Yachol. Baschor and Yachol. He can't marry a Shivcha because only a full Eved can marry a female Eved, a Shivcha. But he can't marry a regular Jewish girl because he's still a Chatzi Eved. So what's he going to do, Nebuch, this poor guy? He bought ill, so he'll say, okay, so new. So he'll be a bachelor. Says the Gemara, you can't be. Okay, listen closely to the language of the Gemara. Every word is important. What's the next pasuk? So you got four choices, right? Four choices from Sefer Bereishis. And the Gemara strikes out. The Gemara doesn't take any of them, even on the extra strike. Four doesn't get. Lo sohu bara la shavas yitzra. So that's so the question. The Gemara is assuming he's chayiv in something, right?
The Gemara is at the shavas.
So the shaila is, A, the language of the Gemara is very strange. That I think we could all agree on. But second of all, who's chayiv on what? The Chatzi Eved is chayiv on shavas? The Chatzi Ben Chorin is chayiv on shavas? Which one? What do you think?
Maybe even the whole Eved would have a concept of Shevis. If there's a concept of Shevis, the Eved would have a concept of Shevis.
Why?
His children would be Avodim, but there could still be Shevis. So,
so then why is the Chayv in Purvu?
He's on the third Skisha.
Sorry? Oh, sorry, Nashim Chayv in Shevis?
Oh,
Shevis?
Purvu than that, Shevis.
Okay, it's not at all clear. So look at Tosfos, a famous Tosfos, also repeated in many places in Shas. Tosfos says, "Hi, Tosfos is sensitive, obviously, why is the Pasuk of Shevis quoted? Hi, asay olim tfei mi pru'urvu. Usually we think the Raisas are stronger. Says Tosfos, no, here the Durabonon is stronger. If it would be just pru'urvu, we wouldn't free this poor guy. He'd have to live his life. He only has to work 3.5 days a week, but that's... Lamaisa, that's still not the ideal life. It would be nothing we could do for him. It's only the power of Shevis that'll get him off. How do we know this? What And there, the pasuk that's quoted, we're going to get back to this idea that in certain cases you would even sell a sefer Torah to help a person get married. The pasuk there is also quoted, Sheves, it's not the pasuk of Puravu. Aval yesh mefarshim, yishum de eved lo mifkir apir avarivya. It quotes a Gemara that proves that avodim are not chayiv in Puravu. And therefore, the implication is, as the Achronim point out, that when the Gemara here says, aye, but what about Lashevis? It means that his sad avdus, meaning he's not Jewish, is chayiv in Sheves. Also, his Jewish sad is obviously chayiv in Sheves. And that is a more powerful thing that could free him, because, after all, we know that there is a lo sase that's being trampled here. Right? It's not so posh to free him. So, it has to be that even though there's an issue, there's a counter pressure, but both the pressure and the counter pressure both have to be mitzad the eved, you see, according to Tosfos. If you'll just say, the Jewish part, half of him is chayiv. Okay, but who cares? What's that got to do with the counter pressure from the tzad eved? But since even mitzad eved, there's conflicting issues. On the one hand, he's an eved. On the other hand, Sheves, which apparently, according to Tosfos, even, at least in this first opinion, even the eved is chayiv. And then Tosfos has a second opinion, which is even more amazing. V'od lishna denakad hacha v'halo nivra olam ela b'shul pur v'rivya mashma te'atarvayhu kai. Not just on the tzad eved, but on both. Hayda min ol kai and pur v'rivya hayda mitam to be inan zara miyuchas acharov afil yisrael sheyesh bo mat shivcha, etc. V'od pur v'u akulhu b'nei noach k'siv af l'kna'an. Says Tosfos in the second answer, really, really chayiv in everything. It's just that there's an issue of yichus. He's chayiv. It's just that he'll have a child, but it's not going to count for anything because there's no yichus. That's a separate halacha. It could be a separate shir why that is and what that means, etc. But there's the idea of Jews have yichus, obviously, in that halachic sense that relate to their children. There's isri ervo, different things such as that. We don't just mean relating on an emotional level. But on for the avadim, and perhaps in general, maybe there's no yichus, but says Tosfos, they're absolutely chayiv. It sounds like even in Puravu, and the bigger chiddush is that Tosfos doesn't just talk about the eved. So who knows what you could talk about the eved? He says even aknan, even. Yes, and it's against the Gemara Sanhedrin. Yeah, so the Marsha goes crazy. Look at this, my famous Marsha. The Marsha goes, what is going on with this second opinion in Tosfos? So there's a very famous Mishnah Lamelech. Mishnah Lamelech and Nichos Malachim, where all these guys, Shalachos Perak Yud, are discussed. So Mishnah Lamelech has a very famous line where he says, it depends. Before Matan Torah, all non-Jews and Avadim were obligated, even though after Matan Torah, it's low Nishnis, and therefore non-Jews are no longer obligated, Avadim remained obligated, says the Mishnah Lamelech, because they are quasi-Jews. When we say this whole idea of nishnas or non-nishnas, it's only for goyim. But avadim, if they were chayiv, if they weren't chayiv ever, glat kosher. Nothing to do with them when they were non-Jew. So then they can only become chayiv also becoming an eved. And if they wouldn't have been chayiv, but something they were chayiv in already, so then, if it wasn't nishnas, so then goyim are no longer chayiv. But Avadim are Chayiv. The Pri Chodosh, who we're most familiar with because he has commentaries on Shulchan Aruch called Pri Chodosh, but he also has a form called Mayim Chayim, which are on the Rambam and on Shas. So there on the Gemara Chigiga, he also says the same thing as this Mishnah Melech. Now, just as an aside, just to keep in mind, because there's so many issues here. Obviously, part of this relates, because the Mishnah Melech is talking about Avadim who are sort of Jewish. They're quasi-Jewish. So l'chora, this very much relates to a very famous machlokas between Rambam and the Balei Tosfos about the status of Avodim. Again, obviously we're talking about Avodim Knanim. And the source of this debate is when you would free a Eved Knani. So you freed the person. So everyone holds that they have to go to the mikvah. But it's a major machlokas what the level of that obligation is. The Rambam holds that it's a chi of the araisa to go to the mikvah. Balei Tosfos seem to hold that it's only Yechiv Mir Rabbanon. And the assumption, the way this machlokas is typically understood, is that the Rambam holds that whatever little bit he has is an Eved, but essentially, Midaraisi, he's still not a full Jew, even when he's freed. And therefore, he needs to go through the mikvah midaraisa to fully convert. When a eved Kanani first becomes an eved, he has to go to the mikvah. And then he has partial mitzvahs that he's commanded in when he's in his master's house. But the Rambam says, you can't get to the finish line, midaraisa, you're not a full Jew until you go to the mikvah a second time. But Tosfos seems to hold that the whole idea of la is a tour that they're only obligated in mitzvah shizma and grama. But fundamentally, they're already Jewish, even the base rabbo. And therefore, it's only Yechiv Midrabbanan, because Midaraisa, they're already in the Midrabbanan, because it doesn't look good. He lived a certain lifestyle. He has to do something now to make him look like he's making a change in status. But Midaraisa, so the more you see the Eved as already fully Jewish, then the more difficult it is to understand how we could have, the more you see him as not Jewish, then the more difficult it is to see how we could have certain chiyuvim. But the more you see him as Jewish, perhaps it may help explain things. But either way, one thing is for sure. You see, according to this Tosos, perhaps the earliest mocker, that there seems to be two different tracts. The Pru Revu tract and the Sever tract. Again, it's hinted at in the Gemara, but you could learn the Gemara as other Rishonim do in different ways. But Tosos goes out of his way to tell you that Sheves got what Pru Revu couldn't get. Now, if all Sheves is a Durabanan extension, two kids, you got your Peruvu, and anything more, throw them in the van, and you get Sheves. But that's all essentially the same din. It's much harder to understand Tosfos. It seems like he's already indicating it's not just that one's Daraisa, one's Durabanan, one's two, and one's a wider expansion, an unlimited number. It seems like perhaps he's hinting at already that there are perhaps different Yudarim. So I want to share with you two ideas. One is from Rav Yosef Engel, and the second is the one that I thought was a chiddush of mine, but I'm happy to have over the years, Kanein Hara, it'll be a 10-year anniversary this November, since that Chassin Stish Pshetel. It's actually already 10 years since I was learning this again, but 10 years since I gave it, almost, November 19th, Yimertz Hashem, Avalin Latova. I found and heard from some Rebbeim, some other people, I wasn't the first person to think of the idea, and some support even for what I suggested way back when. The Aslan Daraisa, one of the greatest Sfarim ever written, by Rav Yosef Engel, one of the greatest Gaonim of all time, one of my favorites. So he has in Klal Yud Gimel an essay, not that long, Baruch Hashem, it's actually one of the shorter ones in the Sefer. And there he has the following chiddush. And for those of you who are familiar with Yosef Engel, a very creative, very original thinker, this is just par for the course. Yosef Engel says the following. He says there's a difference between Pru Revu and Sheves in the following way. Pru Revu is a chiyuv ben adam l'makom. Sheves is a chiyuv ben adam l'chaveiro. I could find for you very quickly the quote. I will see if I could find it. It's a very good line here, if I remember correctly. Lefiza nechse anan. Hine, b'mitzvah pur v'rivya, nimsum shnei ha'anyanim ha'ela. Deba'atzmusa, hi mitzvah yucheves min Hashem Yisbarach, ma'amaro pur rivu, k'chol mitzvah shneamar. Ach mitzvah mechuyeves b'neinu u'bein ha'makom. Aval b'kro d'lo sohu b'ra'ol ha'sheves yitzra, gila ha'kosuv d'tachas olam shitem yusheves mibnei adam, v'imkein mizeh ha'kosuv noda sheshkiv al-ka adam avor tikun ha'olam, lefros l'rabos. Lefiza nimseinu l'meidan shesh hevdol b'in beis ha'chiyuv ma'elu. Ta'aseh d'pru revu, t'havi ach aseh b'loshon chiyuv, imkein ma'ele. I'm sorry, he's going to get into his chiddush in a second. So, first thing he tells us is, one is a chiyuv ben adam l'makom. Hashem wants people in the world. So you're doing chiyuv ben adam l'makom. But the second thing is, the world's a better place when we're not lonely. Right? I don't know how to make shoes, so if more people are born, the more likely is that someone will be a cobbler, and someone will take out the trash, and someone will be my doctor. The world's a better place. It's a social contract. You need more people in the world. That's exactly what Yosef Engel says. He develops this idea. What's his context? Just to give you a sense, it's such a beautiful chiddush, and then we're going to bring it back to Tosfos and Chagiga. Well-known classical question discussed certainly explicitly by many achronim. We have a concept in halacha called Ones Rachmana Patre. I tried. What could I do? The hurricane came and it blew my house away. There's no sukkah anymore. No one had a sukkah in Miami. The houses got blown away. So what do you... Ones Rachmana Patre. So what pshat is pshat that I'm chayiv, but I'm not going to get punished for not doing it because there's an onus. Or is the pshat that I'm not chayif? Or is the achronim say I'm mufka? There's no more obligation. That's a question, much discussion. Literally, books could or already have been written just on that one question. So what's, when we want to count up the shitas, count the votes, what's Rav Yosef Engel's personal opinion? He said it depends. If it's a bein adam lo makom, he says it makes sense. What's the Rav Shalom schizophrenic? Hashem obligates me, and then he sends me a hurricane, or paralyzes me, Rachman al-Islam, or makes me lose all my money, whatever it is. Hashem's going to obligate me and then create a position where I can't do it? Doesn't make any sense. Elamai, if I have this crazy situation of onus, it must be that I'm not chayiv, because Hashem wouldn't send two conflicting things to me at once. But if it's a chiyah ben aram lachaveiro, so then true, I'm not going to get punished for it, because nebuchal can I do? Everyone knows, I mean, sincerely, I'm an onus. But you're not going to say I'm not chayiv, because there's a tikkun olam out there. What's the nafkamina, of course? If I'll ever have the removal of the onus. So then the tikkun olam is still crying out, but you're the doctor, we need you. So now get back and do whatever you have to do. This is very reminiscent, I've mentioned a few times in different contexts, of the shita of the Avnei Nezer, who explains why is it that essentially there's no ptur, if you will, onus, even though they don't use that word, financial onus. Usually we say if you're too poor to buy a lulav, so you don't have to buy a lulav. But yet we know that by Dalat Kosos, according to the Rambam, and even more broadly assumed for Ner Chanukah, which are only Darabonans of all things, afilu mocheres ksusa, you gotta sell the shirt off your back. Zok to Avnei Nezer, because a mitzvah of a presuming Nisa, so there it's not just my chiv. If it was my chiv, I'd be potter because I don't have any money. But if it's a chiv of presuming Nisa, so I'm supposed to be educating the masses, so just because I can't afford it, they should not know? Mamash, it's exactly a parallel svara that Rav Engel has here to the Avnei Nezer about Chanukah Licht. So getting back to Tosfos, he asks, so we ask, why does Tosfos say that Shebes was Olim Tvei from Puruvu? It should be the other way around. Puruvu is Daraisa. So he says, of Yosef Engel, it's not Daraisas and Darabanans. Puruvu is Benaram Lamakom. So this guy is an Onus. So if he's an Onus, he's not Chayiv anymore. If he's not Chayiv, then there's no counter pressure to free him. Only Shebes, which is the Benaram Lachavero. True, he's potter because he can't marry anybody. But there's still a chiyuv, because it's a benam lachavero take a chiyuv. And therefore, Nebuchi can't fulfill that benam lachavero chiyuv, therefore we free him. This is, if you wanted like a dogma of how sharp Rav Yosef Engel can be, this is it. Now, like many other things he says, it might be too sharp. Okay, that's for further thought. But that's what he says, and it's worth plugging that back into some of the other things that we mentioned. What I want to suggest in the few minutes that we have left, and I apologize, I'm going to go over probably 10:05, you'll forgive, 11:05, excuse me, and if certainly anyone who has to leave, I understand completely. I wanted to make a different suggestion. I want to make a different suggestion which relates back not only to the Goyim, but also to Avadim, but also to women. And I want to suggest the following. The Pru Uravu is specifically a chi of not just to populate the world, l'shem, having 2 billion Chinese and 4 billion Indians and 250 million Americans, or even for that matter, 18 million people in Israel are Jews. The purpose of Puruvu is to have people to perpetuate the Masorah. L'Shevis, as the Pasuk indicates, is to have the world shouldn't be empty. Right? I spoke about this L'Mashal Ma'adav Dama on Shmini Atzeres. People go to different minyanim and the shul is empty at Simchas Torah, then it's not a covet for the shul. If the world is empty, it's not a covet for the Rabbanu Shlom. Barov Am Hajj Smelt, that's exactly what Shevis is. The Chiddush, what I'm suggesting, is not that that's what Shevis is that Puruvu is something different. It's not just to have people. Right? Lots of people sitting and not dancing didn't help Simchas Torah either. The idea is to have people of a specific type, namely, Puruvu is to perpetuate the Masorah. Now, at the time of this Sheva of Chazon Tzish, so I mentioned that if you look in the Sefer Chinuch, it's Meduyuk, Sefer Chinuch says the purpose of Puruvu is to have people to do mitzvos. Which is not in the Gemara, but he adds that. Since Chasid Fish, I was privileged to once be in a car with one of my rabbis, of Mayor Tversky, and he told me that long ago he had the same idea. First I got depressed, but then, hopefully, true B'nai Torah are always happy when their Chiddushim were preceded. He pointed out that on the last daf of Cheska Sabatim, there the Gemara, less Omud, the Gemara there discusses that in the aftermath of the Churban, things were so bad, they had all sorts of radical Havaminas. And one of the things the Gemara says is that they had a suggestion perhaps even Mivatal Puruvu. is this? All right, I take that back. The lashon of the Gemara is slightly different. One second. Din hu shenigzar al atzmeinu shlo lisa nashim. We should have been so upset about the churban. We shouldn't have gotten married. So comes along Tosfos Derabas Kledin. This is on Samach on the base. Tema hotziv puravu. Because you're depressed about the churban. There's a chiyuv d'oraisa. Who said you can't have? You're not going to have children because. Are you? I don't think that's what the Gemara had in mind. Said so. If you look at Tosfos, he gives a very technical answer. Shema osan shekvar kimu perivrivya. What you see from this Tosfos is a remarkable. Tosfos never rejects the Havamina. He never, somehow, he never explains how. Apparently, it really could have been that after the Churban there would have been Ochiyav Daraisa Peruvu. So Rabbi Twersky suggested that it was all derech this. A world in which you have what kind of avodas Hashem is there without a base of mikdash? We're going to raise children in a world without a base of mikdash? The purpose is not to have children. The purpose is to raise children and to bring them to the makam of mikdash, to bring them to see Hashem, to see the nisim in the base of mikdash. And he told me that years and years ago, when he was learning of Yod and Kolel, the Rosh Kolel was Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal, and he said that when they were learning Evan Ezer, Rav Nissen Alpert mentioned as an aside that he thought that the Jews living in the Soviet Union under the Iron Curtain were putter from Peruvu. Rabbi Twersky said, for years he had no idea what he was talking about. He says, you know, I wasn't saying this is a psak, but in the base matter, she said such a thing. He says, that's pshat. If you have to raise your child an atheist, maybe there's no chiv to have a child. The chiv. Huh?
Isn't that what his score was? That's why he didn't have a child?
Because well, he didn't want to because he knew who was going to be.
It was a Russia.
Right. So I was playing around with Nevuah. That's what the Navi give him a patch for. But Anachanami, the Navi didn't give him a patch for not wanting to have children who are going to be rebellious. But this again is not anyone's fault. They were under the communist regime.
It's fine also. They were avoided, like,
okay. So I want to mention one more thing. So first of all, when it came to Tosfos, let's plug that back into Tosfos. I think it works beautifully. Okay, now that's, now back to, again, this Rabbi Twersky doesn't take any blame for it. This is just, I'm going to run out of time. I'll take any questions you want after, but I won't hold anybody longer. Okay, that I'll for sure take afterwards. But I can't necessarily assume that everyone else wants to hear it, so. But I definitely want to hear it though. So first of all, when it came to Tosfos with the Eved Chatzi Eved, it works perfectly. Puravu is a chiv to perpetuate the Masorah. That he, whence he'll become fully Jewish, then he'll be chayiv in it. But he was never chayiv in that now. That's not going to get him free. Never, because the Eved, Tzad Eved has no one to marry. Peruvu doesn't help him, that's for the Masorah. But to perpetuate the world, he was even chayiv, you see, when he was a guy. Because Goyim could be chayiv in that aspect too, to perpetuate the world. Finally, to mention the issue, we mentioned women. There's a very important machlokis in the beginning of Evan Ezer. The Gemara, we alluded to this before, says that for a Yosom, a Jewish boy who has no one to make a wedding for him, the community is obligated, if necessary, to sell a Sefer Torah to raise money, he should have children. The discussion of Poskim is, what about for a Yisoma? So this is a Machlokas Achronim. The Beis Shmuel in Eben Ezra, and he also quotes a Magen Avraham and Huchas Beis HaKnesses and Sim Kufin Gimel and Archaim, says we would even sell the Sefer Torah for Yisoma. Why? I, but then I have him for Revu. But these Achronim assume women are archive and Sheves. Comes on the Chagas Machok and says, who told you? Better yet, says the Archa Shulchan in Eben Ezer, it doesn't make any sense, because the whole purpose of Puravu is L'Sheves. So how could he say the Chayiv and Prata from Puravu and Chayiv and Sheves? They're all the same thing. So again, you don't know exactly what's going on here, but one thing you know for sure, you just look at the page of Shulchan Aruch. They clearly are arguing about the relationship between Puravu and Sheves. The Archa Shulchan says it so perfectly. He holds us all one din. One's Darbana, one's Araisa, one's two kids, one's 20 kids, but it's all one lumpness. It's all one conceptual idea. Presumably the Magen Avraham and the Beis Shmuel are holding that they're different things. So perhaps Pshat is as follows. Why B'chal do you sell Sefer Torah? Because somebody can get married, so you raise money another way. The halachas of what you do with the Sefer Torah is so chomer. There's only two exceptions for what you'd sell Sefer Torah for. Why this one? So I wanted to suggest the following. If it would be a clash, come Sefer Torah versus something else, so who said it would win? Maybe it even wouldn't win even for Yosem, for nobody. But the idea is it's not a clash between two competing things. It's all one din. The purpose of the Sefer Torah is not to sit around Kodesh, no one should look at it. The purpose of the Sefer Torah is to perpetuate the Mesorah, to have Torah. And what's the purpose of having the children? To be able to share that Torah, to bond the children with the Torah. So if all, we're not gonna, what's the purpose of having the Torah if there's not going to be any children to learn the Torah? So we'll sell the Torah, but who are we going to do that for? Who's chayv in Talmud Torah? Who has the formal obligation to perpetuate the Mesorah? The Maratim is B'neichem, Philo is B'neichem. So because they're chayiv in that, it's all, so then for them, this is what I'm suggesting, perhaps the Chatzos Machokik and the Aruch HaShulchan. Then we'll say, okay, so perhaps for their Talmud Torah, we're even going to sell Sefer Torah, because it's all Hein Advarim, it's the same din. But for a woman, again, this is, if I was speaking of a different circle, I'd have to point out that there's many other very important informal roles. I don't mean this kiddingly. Chas v'shalom. But technically, whatever the reasons are, that's maybe for separate shir, but there's a cause of who? They're not chayiv in that. They don't have the formal obligation in Talmud Torah, and it's not just to learn, as the Gemara itself in Kedushin says. If you're not chayiv to learn, you can't be chayiv to teach somebody else. That is a chayiv on men, and therefore, it could be that that's why, if it's just us, we don't want to be nice to a poor orphan. Okay, yisoma, yisom, we should be nice to the girls too. But if it's not about that, if it's about perpetuating the Mesorah, then perhaps it would make sense that we would have this distinction. Again, there's more. I apologize for holding you late, and I left out some things I wanted to mention also. But really, as I said, this was just Shabbos HaOzen, just to whet your appetite. There's really so much more, so many beautiful things in this mitzvah. In Ritz Hashem, this should be the first of many learning opportunities we have together this year.